Wednesday, March 11th. If the committee members want to, and staff want to introduce themselves, youth and governance, if you want to start. Introduce yourself.
John Poole, District 20.
Danny Mueller, Ocean County Planning.
Zach Rodriguez, District 8.
Mark Morgan, District 21.
April Webb, Planning Office.
And I'm Erin Deckard, County Board Supervisor, District 22, and Chair of the Committee. Andy, if you want to let us know about the legal postings in the paper?
Yes. Proof of publication we have from posting as a Class 2 notice in the Kenosha News on February 20th and March 4th.
Thank you very much, Andy. And agenda items number 6, 7, 8, and 10 were tabled at the committee or at the town?
Correct, at the town.
So if I could get a motion to table those items.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Table.
Motion to approve table.
I have a motion by Supervisor Poole to table those four items and a second by Supervisor Nordegan. Any discussion? Seeing none, youth and governance, how do you vote?
Aye.
Committee, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion passes. So agenda items number 6, 7, 8, and 10 are tabled. So we will move on to agenda item number 9.
Item number 9 is HC1 LLC with a rezone sponsored by the committee from with the C1, so basically, which is this wetland district. We'll look at the map. So this property out in Wheatland, we've been receiving a number of calls, and in looking in the file, there was a wetland delineation performed by Sewer Pack some years ago, but never followed up on. So we contacted the owner, and the policy is that when we have a wetland delineation, that we do that at no charge to the property owner, because we're always looking at having the most accurate data for our mapping. And so this is a correction. You can see where the C1 line is or has been mapped, and you can see where it actually is here, this kind of reddish color, which is good because it's going to allow for the property to be actually built upon, whereas currently we were only able to tell where the wetlands, we thought the wetlands are, and it made the property not very useful. So we would recommend to approve.
Thank you, Andy. Does any of the committee have any questions about this? Seeing none, is there anyone here to speak for the petition? Anyone to speak for the petition? Anyone to speak against the petition? Anyone against? And from the town, Andy?
So we have an agreement with the town of Wheatland when there is a wetland delineation map correction that they have given us carte blanche to approve.
Okay, thank you, Andy.
Motion to approve.
Sorry.
I have a motion by Supervisor Rodriguez and a second by Supervisor Nordegan. Any further questions or discussion by the committee or youth and governance? Seeing none, youth and governance, how do you vote?
Aye.
Is this a roll call vote?
No.
Okay. Committee, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed say nay. No. Motion passes. Agenda item number 11, comprehensive plan amendment, 2019 annual report.
Correct. So with this item, the multi-jurisdictional committee met a couple weeks ago, as we do yearly. We then put together a report as part of the requirements of the comprehensive plan to take into account what amendments were made by each community. We take an analysis of the different goals and objectives of the comprehensive plan, discuss where things are going. We also discussed in regards to with the plan this year is 10 years old. It's recommended that the plan be updated every 10 years, and we've started discussion as to how that would look. And Ben McKay from Sewer Pack came and he presented four options that our communities can choose. The Village of Salem Lakes is going to start theirs this year just because of the fact that incorporating with the Village of Silver Lake, they want to get a handle on those things. The other communities are going to wait until next year when the census data will have been obtained and released in midsummer to use that data to help them with whatever extent they want to update their land use plans. One of the options would be just to keep the plan that they have with no changes, and there might be a couple communities that would do that. So this report, we would recommend approval. It's an analysis of what's taken place over the last year. It is a roll call vote.
Thank you, Andy. Any questions or comments from the committee? Supervisor Noria?
Yeah, Andy, so the plan that's presented here, any changes that wanted to make have to be started either or completely agreed to by the municipality and the county to make any changes? Or all the municipalities, how would that work?
So the incorporated communities, well, they can make their changes on their own, and then the county just assumes those changes.
Okay.
In the unincorporated areas, the towns, those are handled through this committee. They go through the town, this committee, and the county board.
So, but if the town wants something, a town wants us to look at something, they would like something changed, it's going to come to this board.
Correct.
Okay. And then the board will build it, and then it'll go to the full board for approval.
Correct.
Okay. So there's a
process.
There's a process. It can be changed.
A public hearing process.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Nordigan. Any other questions or comments from the committee? Seeing none, is there anyone here to speak for the petition? Anyone for the petition? Anyone to speak against the petition? Anyone against? And nothing from the town because they were at the meeting and were just kind of reporting on what they voted for?
Correct.
Okay. Can I get a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion to approve by Supervisor Nordigan and a second by Supervisor Poole. Any other questions or discussions? Seeing none, youth and governance, this is a roll call vote. So youth and governance, how do you vote?
Aye.
Aye.
Roll call vote, John. Supervisor Poole.
Aye.
Supervisor Rodriguez.
Aye.
Supervisor Nordigan.
Aye.
And Supervisor Decker, myself, vote aye. So motion passes. Agenda item number 12, review and possible approval of the adult entertainment ordinance revisions. Andy?
So we have Corporate Counsel Joe Cardone here. You can see I'll move the mic. But otherwise, yeah, so Joe's here to be able to give a synopsis of what's transpired and answer any questions.
Good evening, Supervisors. You may recall this was discussed briefly back in, I want to say, October, because we ended up doing a moratorium on any potential new establishments while we completed this process. As you can see from the various and sundry red lines and changes, we've been working on this for some time now. Early in 2019, we began the process of undertaking a comprehensive review of Section 12.22-6, which is adult establishments. This is because it hadn't been done in approximately 15 years since this version passed by the county board. We were mindful of the fact that there were a number of developments and changes in court opinions and jurisprudence on this, the regulation of adult establishments during that time. In fact, about 18 months ago, give or take, there was a fairly significant case in the Seventh Circuit out of Indiana that was part of what prompted Mr. Bueller and I to start to review this and make sure that we were in as close compliance as possible with the current state of the law. To that end, we did seek outside counsel that had some degree of expertise in zoning matters of these types of ordinance establishments, dealing with these questions, gave them the charge to essentially go through those changes in the opinions and that their students review what we had and make those recommendations that they thought were necessary and appropriate to continue to keep the spirit of the existing ordinance alive while ensuring that we were in compliance with those developments in law and as best as possible insulate us against any type of challenge that we were unduly and unconstitutionally stifling free expression. To that end, they have gone through it, and what you have in front of you is the result of primarily their work as well as some work by Mr. Mueller and myself. Primarily, the changes that have been made are to streamline the definitions, to remove out of a or heard the superfluous language, as well as combining certain categories or definitions. You will see, for example, if you've reviewed it, that under the current ordinance, there were two different categories of adult establishments. There was retail and entertainment. We combined that into one category of adult establishments rather than having different criteria for the different types of businesses. In speaking briefly with Chair Decker yesterday, she noted that it seemed like there was a lot of things that had been removed. And I will tell you that while there is a lot of redlining, I will certainly concede that. But you'll find that, again, most of it either is in service of that effort to streamline by definitions or has been used to perhaps reorganize the way the ordinance is laid out. For example, on the first couple of pages, there appears to be a lot of stuff that's been cut out. It is the various justifications that were used back in 2004 to explain why we were enacting this particular ordinance and what our basis was. Much of that language from the first couple of chapters to the first couple of pages have now been incorporated into the findings section in the ordinance itself, which starts on page 4. And so you'll find that a lot of the language has been just been moved around. The one significant change, as far as I'm concerned, and I guess I'll just address the elephant in the room right off the bat, is that the current ordinance did prohibit the sale or service of alcohol in an adult establishment like an adult cabaret. Again, at the very specific suggestion and advice of outside counsel, that had been removed in order to ensure we were in compliance with the Wisconsin state statutes as well as our own ordinances, and to avoid singling out one type of establishment and saying, you know, in this particular type of business you cannot serve alcohol where we would permit it in any others. I will tell you that as a practical matter, these decisions will then be up to the municipalities where they will have the ability to determine whether or not liquor license will be permitted, so that will not be a county determination anyways. Further, in reviewing the current map, we wanted to recognize the significant development that has occurred over the past 15 years, as well as three communities that were previously unincorporated incorporating. So we also need to take that into consideration, looking at the current status of the map, and again, reviewing that against the ordinance that currently exists, as well as the state of the law and the sense that we needed to we needed to ensure that there would be locations meeting the criteria which would not be devolved. I think that's most of the sort of high points, the 10,000 foot view, if you will, that I put together as an overview. I'm certainly happy to address any specific questions or concerns that may be had by members of the committee. I suspect that Mr. Mueller can assist me in that as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. Any questions or comments from the committee? Supervisor Poole.
Yes, I noticed sometimes you have 600 feet, sometimes you have 1,000 feet. Why aren't they, you know, just the same?
The 1,000 feet is designed to be in this draft. The 1,000 feet, I think, the 1,000 feet that are left is between establishments. The 600 foot, I'll be very frank again, we needed to ensure that there was a possibility of being able to cite one of these establishments if they came to us. Under the current map, it was our belief that there simply was not a single location that met the criteria, and our concern was that it was vulnerable to a challenge that we had either deliberately or unintentionally zoned them out completely. 600 was the smallest buffer, if you will, that we could use and still find a location where somebody could theoretically establish one of these businesses.
Also, I see you said within 300 feet of a state trunk highway, so it sounds like to me it would almost force them on the outside of town.
That is an existing regulation in the current ordinance. There's no change there. We ran that past council. They were okay with us continuing. I believe that's at least in part due to a desire to have it easily accessible for emergency and law enforcement vehicles. Is that correct?
Correct, right, from the standpoint of being on a highly traveled road where it's easily accessible, easily seen, as opposed to being in some location where it might be on a side town road or where it wouldn't be as visible. And so it would need to be not, if it was a large piece of property, not be located in the very rear of the property. It would have to be up front.
I should also note, just along the lines of your question, that I know for a fact that both the city of Kenosha and the village of Pleasant Prairie have their own ordinances. I don't know them in depth. I haven't studied them, but I know they have their own ordinances and their own criteria.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor Poole. Supervisor Rodriguez?
Thank you. Through the chair, court counsel, can you give us a little bit of background about what the case that kind of prompted us to address this, what that involved?
Yes, interestingly enough, it was a situation where in Indiana, a hustler store was seeking to locate in a particular neighborhood, in a particular area, based on the various zoning ordinances that they had. They were told, have to set up here. And I wish I was joking when I told you that literally this case, as I recall, was about essentially like a block's worth of difference. We don't want to be here, we want to be here. Well, you can't be here because of the zoning things. They filed a lawsuit indicating that they were having their First Amendment rights or free expression denied. The Seventh Circuit eventually struck down or denied their challenge, upheld the existing ordinance. And that ordinance has been, at least in part, what we then were using, or outside counsel was using, as the model in terms of an ordinance they knew had recently undergone a constitutional challenge and been upheld as being constitutional.
Okay, and then I know you and I discussed this before the meeting, but if we go to page 16 of the ordinance, towards the bottom of the page here, adult cabarets, you go to the second line, B, all live performers in adult cabaret shall perform only on stage elevated no less than 36 inches above the floor. There shall be a metal railing attached to the floor by bolts surrounding the stage, which shall keep patrons at least 48 inches from the stage. There shall also be a metal railing.
Your mic's not on. Sorry.
Can we start over?
No.
Keep patrons at least 48 inches from the stage. There shall also be a metal railing attached to the floor by bolts at the edge of the stage. So just through, I think, those adults here in the room, and I think to most adults, common knowledge, that's not typically seen in an establishment like this. Does that open us up to litigation where they can say this is an undue burden that we don't see typically in neighboring counties, or?
I can tell you that I did specifically speak with council about this to ensure that that we had their blessing, if you will. They didn't see where this was something that was impactful of free expression, if you will, the right under the First Amendment to perform. And so they indicated they did not see a problem with us putting this particular provision. It's designed, as I indicated before the meeting, it's really designed to try and ensure that we're looking after the health and well-being of both the patrons and the members.
Okay. Then I guess my concern is with the first part, why are we raising the stage? Because I don't think you're any safer as a performer going higher up.
And I apologize, I'm trying to recall why that came up. It may have been designed to try and create distance between the performers and the patrons.
Okay. That's all I've got.
Thank you, Supervisor Rodriguez. Supervisor Nordigan?
And I'm just looking at page 15 about the location. These would not be allowed types of entertainment establishments.
What number?
Well, number 5.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Would not be allowed anywhere on our highway system, 94 or anything like that. I've seen traditionally, well, for instance, in the state to the south of us, they had a few of them on 41. So we wouldn't allow those on that really very valuable property, correct? And I know we probably have one now, but I'm just talking about in the future.
I would defer to you.
Correct, only state trunk highways, not federal highways.
So we have a state trunk highway 50 that connects, so could still be within, 300 feet of that. And I'm just saying, can we make sure nothing within those zones where we have massively large developments going in, that they wouldn't encumber upon someone wanting to come in and build something, but here this establishment is now going up there, at 300 feet away from it or something. Just because we have 50 intersecting with 94, there could be something that goes in on 50 right by 94, right?
It's possible.
So that I'd like to keep that away, because that's really valuable property for other than this type of establishment. So is there anything we can do about that?
Well, just as an example, 5094 would not actually be our jurisdiction, right?
That's Kenosha, Pleasant Prairie.
And in that case, there is Bristol and the city in Pleasant Prairie.
Yeah, I know there's a muddled area there, right?
So there's no jurisdiction for this ordinance in that location.
Okay. So we're okay. I'll let you up to that. Okay. But Paris, because we have the county highway system.
Well, we have 142, which is.
And we have 142, yeah. So those are, just anything could be put up based off of this right on 94, 300 feet.
Okay, so if on 142, there's a city, the village of Summers, even though Paris is there, any development requires it to go into Summers or the city.
Okay.
And they have their own ordinances.
Is okay. It then for 165 as well?
152.
It's Pleasant Prairie.
Yeah, 152, 142, but the county trunks we're not concerned with, because it doesn't allow on the county trunks.
Correct.
Okay. All right, I'm fine. Thank you.
Anything else? Supervisor Poole?
Yes. I must say it was really difficult to read this, the three different colors of trying to get all the lines out and everything, but I think I get the general gist of it. Good ordinance. Thank you.
Anything else? I didn't do the 4 yet, did I? No. Anyone here to speak? Do you think governments have any questions on this ordinance? Seth?
Does this affect already existing establishments as well?
So, I'm sorry,
would already existing establishments have to rezone if they are outside of the, or have to relocate if they're outside of the allocated spaces?
There are none that I'm aware of that would be covered by this ordinance.
Well, the one on the front of Jordan K is in the town of Somers.
Okay.
So it's existing.
Okay.
Are they grandfathered in?
They are.
Yeah. Exactly. I believe that there's a provision there for non-conforming uses at the time the ordinance is adopted.
Correct.
Anything else, Jeff? Supervisor Rodriguez?
No, if the current establishment off the interstate sells or, you know, what have you, their new operators, are they continue to be grandfathered in, or are they?
Sale does not change the non-conformity. They're not, or they're grandfathered in.
And does an establishment need to be closed for a certain amount of time for them to then fall
to
under?
That, yes. By ordinance, it's 12 months.
Okay. And how many, or do we have, aside from Superb Video on K in the interstate, are there any other adult establishments in the county?
Not under this ordinance.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, is there anyone here to speak for the petition? Anyone for the petition? Anyone to speak against the petition? Anyone against the petition? Did you get anything from the towns or anything, or this because it was our owner?
Yeah, so what ends up happening is this goes forward, and then, like previous ordinances, the towns are informed, although they are aware of this. If they have any objection, then they have 45 days to object.
Okay, so after we adopt it, then they'll
correct.
Get it. Okay, thank you. Can I get a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion to approve by Supervisor Rodriguez and a second by Supervisor Poole. Any other discussion or questions?
Roll call.
Roll call, okay. Youth and Governance, how do you vote?
Aye.
Supervisor Poole?
Aye.
Supervisor Rodriguez?
Aye.
Supervisor Nordigan?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. Motion passes.
Thank you
very much, Mr. Cardinal. Okay, now I gotta bring my agenda again.
Open minutes.
I lost my agenda. Oh, sorry. Approval of the minutes, number 13.
There are no minutes this month.
Okay. So we will skip that. Citizen comments. Any citizen comments? Seeing none, citizen comments are closed. Any other business allowed by law, Andy?
So we will have a meeting next month to basically just cover the items that were tabled tonight.
Anything new?
Nothing new.
Okay, thank
and
you.
We anticipate those items should move forward.
Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Moved.
Second.
I have a motion by Supervisor Rodriguez and a second by Supervisor Nordigan. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Committee, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion passes. We are adjourned.